Welcome, all you sinners and sodomites, to episode 13 of Bible Stories for Atheists. I am Josh.
I'm Linz.
And we are your guides to the expertly erred stories, literally littering the Bible.
I forgot this was our 13th episode, or else I would have, erred on the side of caution.
Oh, yeah.
Because 13 is an unlucky number.
Right, we should have just skipped it, because we might be atheists, but we're not unrealistic.
That doesn't mean we're not paranoid.
Right. We make a wish at 11:11 every day, just like everybody else. Is it too late to make this a pumpkin spice episode? Because I feel like everything else is pumpkin spice right now. Maybe we should make this a pumpkin spice episode.
How?
I don't know. We just say it is.
I mean, posh spice, maybe.
Posh spice.
You'll get that in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
But I'm...
Is that in pumpkin pie? Posh spice.
In some people's dreams it is, I think.
Yes. So in this week's episode, we talk about just going through some stories. The first miracle of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And him doing demon possession.
Resolving demon possession.
Yes. Casting out the demons.
And threatening to tear down a temple that doesn't actually lead to anything.
Right. It's,
a bunch of bluster and no action.
Yeah. A bunch of metaphors that go over people's heads.
Yep.
So strap in, strap on for episode 13. You are about to be tooken. So you remember in the last episode we talked about, we talked in the last episode about how when Jesus got baptized, Luke gives his genealogy.
Yes.
Of Jesus.
Yes.
And then there's the one in Matthew, the book of Matthew.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, I should have seen
if they were the same.
Yeah. Like if they matched up or if there's differences or anything. Oh boy.
Are there big differences?
Big differences.
Wow. Okay.
Let's none of the same names until you get to David.
Really?
Yeah. So basically what happens is in Matthew, he descends from David's son Solomon.
Okay.
Right. So this is Joseph. Really, it's Joseph's genealogy.
Right.
Because Jesus was not an actual child of Joseph, right?
Right.
He's supposed to be a child of God.
Yes.
So Joseph's genealogy comes through the line of King Solomon.
Right.
Whereas in Luke's genealogy...
He's the guy that wants to cut the baby in half, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. That was that guy.
All right.
Whereas in Luke's genealogy, he gets descended from Solomon's brother, Nathan.
Okay. It's a less extraordinary name.
Right, yeah. So it's two completely different lines from through those generations.
But still the same line.
In both cases, they come from David.
Yeah. Okay.
And it seems like, I'm pretty sure this was a week ago that I was looking at this, but I'm pretty sure all of the names before that, before David, those sync up.
So. Okay.
Except, one goes all the way back to Abraham and the other one goes back to Adam. And this kind of annoys the hell out of me because I was looking up explanations
for this.
Yeah. And they come up with things like, well, Luke's version is actually the line of Mary, even though it specifically says it's Joseph's genealogy.
Right.
I just thought it was interesting that it's this glaring disparity between the two, and you have to do some real mental gymnastics to get around that of but it's Mary's. Oh, but it's this adopted father's.
Right.
Genealogy,
But, we're using this as a genealogy for Jesus, who doesn't actually have any of Joseph's genes anyway, so the whole thing is...
Completely moved.
Yeah, that's why the whole thing's bullshit.
Yeah.
That one fucking reason.
That one, yeah. No, it's one of many that I just... it's annoying to me the lack of genuine attempts to look for a reason for it or accept the fact that there is no reason for it, that this is just a flaw in the Bible. We just don't know what the genealogy would have been.
Yeah.
And do we even need to?
No.
You know?
No. And also, like, I mean, at the end of the day, even if this stuff were true, it's written by men. And aren't we supposed to think that men are fallible?
Yeah, exactly.
So to try and do mental gymnastics because one dude wrote one thing and one dude wrote the other, why don't you just say like, oh, this dude fucked up because he's a human being.
Right.
So none of us believe this one. We believe this one.
Right. That actually leads me to another interesting thing that I thought of while I was going through reading this week's stories was just how much of the Gospels I never really realized was narration and its editorial, not even narration, editorializing on the part of the writer. Mm-hmm. And that does not equate and should not equate to the red letters, to what Jesus says, you know? Mm. In theory, the writer followed Jesus or really had a firm understanding of their of Jesus's teachings and everything, but they weren't Jesus. And so the editorializing really doesn't add anything.
Right.
Like, I'm of the opinion, if God did exist, that no one has more authority over what God thinks than anybody else.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So what you're saying is they should have just threw all of Jesus's words at you and cut out all the, and on that day I washed my asshole.
Little few people know that that's actually John 3:17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And on that day, I washed my asshole. It's an odd pairing. Nobody holds that up at football games. But yeah,
what? What is 3:16?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
That's the one they hold up at football games?
Yeah, we're actually going to hit that one today. Why? But let me double check and make sure I'm right about this. Yeah, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, according to the NIV, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. On that day, I washed my asshole.
Why is that pertinent to football?
It's not pertinent to football at all. The idea behind John 3:16 is that one verse alone sums up what Jesus was.
Okay.
You know, like anybody can read that verse and get an idea of what the gospel is.
So people are proselytizing by holding up a sign at football games?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's stupid.
Did you think that it had to do with football?
Not football.
Yeah.
But like some sort of sport or like not even sport, like some sort of biblical idea about competition or like fairness or like, you know, I don't know, unneeded masculinity and head trauma. I don't
Jesus was hard against concussions. He hated concussions.
He would. He would hate concussions.
He would.
Yeah.
That's funny. I always kind of like, before when I was a little kid, you know, I would see the signs and I didn't know John 3:16 off the top of my head or anything. I always thought it was kind of like that too. Yeah. But yeah.
Like no, when the dude fought the lions.
Right.
And the Lions lost.
Yeah.
Just like now.
Yeah. It's very specifically about the Detroit Lions.
Everyone thought the Lions might win this time, but nope.
Yeah.
They nope. ate each other. They
It's a really weird overtime. I don't know where we were going with that, but I feel like we've reached an end to that thought. So, so there's that, you know, the genealogies don't match.
Okay. Shocking.
Yes.
No one who listens to this podcast, hopefully by this point.
Right. It's fucking impossible to try and get all these stories to match. Like to know if you're hitting the, like if I'm reading the same story in like three different, in four different books, you know what I mean?
To like align them up on like a timeline.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to do that this last couple of weeks. And then I had this brilliant idea of, oh, there's a bunch of people really obsessed with the Gospels.
Yeah, someone did this already.
For sure. And sure enough,
yeah,
somebody did this already. Of course,
somebody did it. A lot of people did it already.
There's one person, I mean, there's probably multiple. The first person I found who did it.
Number one on the Google search.
Pretty close. Just intricately went through all the stories and lined up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I was able to copy and paste it all into a spreadsheet. So we're going to be following that along. And what's interesting is they favor Luke, Luke's timeline. According to them, Luke was the one who got it right about which stories happened when.
Oh, was this a religious person who did this?
It came from what looked like a religious website. Okay. I'm not going to promote it or anything. Right. Just all this is to say, like, this is how we're going to be organizing this going forward. Like,
did they see? So they were biased towards Luke. So they probably used Luke as like the column one and then lined everything up.
In essence.
Against it.
Yeah.
But they still did it accurately, you think?
No, I mean, I don't think it's accurate. Like,
it looks like how if you would have gotten to concluded to what you were trying to do, yours would have looked similar.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what you learn pretty quickly just looking through the spreadsheet is you're jumping all around in the other Gospels. Like, none of the Gospels agree on the timeline of when these things happened.
Okay.
You know, they all put them at different places. And again, there's a bunch of stories that happen only in one Gospel and don't happen in the others, or happen in a couple Gospels, but not in the others, you know. And so I don't know what method they went about to figure out where those fit in the chronology, but that's up to them. We're just kind of using it to organize, essentially. So all that's to say, the next few stories we're going to be reading through today are in John and only in John.
Oh, okay. They don't exist in any other Gospels.
Right. Like the first miracle of Jesus, which why would you want to put that in your Gospel? Yeah,
true. But does it make John feel more like maybe he was there for that one and nobody else was?
Well, like, John was written the latest. Like, we know. Okay.
So this is stuff they added later.
Yeah.
I see.
I should also point out one thing I realized I might not have made clear in a previous episode is that we don't have any of the original manuscripts from any of these. So if they changed anything, you know, if they took anything out, they added anything between the first manuscript and like the third or fourth manuscript, which is what we have of all these, we don't know.
Right.
You know?
You don't think they're in some Illuminati basement somewhere, like deep in the bowels of the Catholic Church or something like that?
To be totally honest, my guess, and this is literally just a guess, my guess is that they did change stuff to get it to fit with what ended up being doctrine for, like, after the Council of Nicaea in 300-some AD. They changed stuff to make it fit, and then they burned the originals. They got rid of them, destroyed them somehow.
That's smart.
Is my guess.
Yeah, but there wasn't that intrepid person that was like, we need to save these, and jumped into the fire and ran off with them.
not that we know of so far, at least, you know. But you never know.
That sounds like a Dan Brown novel.
Yeah. I know. It totally does. So our first story is going to be Jesus' first miracle.
Okay.
Where he gets invited to a wedding.
Oh, I know this story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jesus gets invited to a wedding. We don't know who the bride and groom are or anything like that.
But is he invited to it or does he just roll up on it?
Nope, he's invited and so are his disciples.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a friend of, a buddy of his.
Right, yeah.
I can assume.
So keep in mind, this is his first miracle.
Right.
Which John clearly says. And yet he has disciples.
Oh.
So he's never done any miracles to convince people to follow him.
Right.
You know, they just decided to follow him based on him running around yelling, repent, the end is near.
What about the fish thing with one of the disciples, right? Didn't he like send him out on the boat and was like, go fishing and you're going to catch all this fish?
Right.
So that, I guess that wouldn't necessarily be a miracle.
According to this chronology, according to this list, we have not hit that story yet.
Oh.
I don't believe.
Okay.
We did hit 13 rows of this in the first two episodes.
Okay.
So we're making our way through it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
I mean, granted, that's out of 247, but still.
Holy shit.
Some of them are like two verses long now.
Yeah.
So like, it's really like
Jesus learned how to masturbate today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then 2 years went by.
That's like, that's like 230.
Found himself.
That's 246. He learned how to, and then.
Yeah. Time to die.
Yeah. Jesus is at this wedding, and his mom is also there, Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Yep. And she comes up to him and is like, there's no more wine.
Mm, yep.
And Jesus is like,
go check in that water.
Yeah.
The water's now wine.
Yeah. Well, Jesus is like, woman.
He called his mother woman.
Why do you involve me? Yeah. But the footnote says that for the culture and everything, that this was not meant as disrespectful or anything.
Like, well, how old was Jesus at this point?
He would have been about 30.
Oh, yeah, that's way too old to be talking to your mom like that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like how a feisty 16-year-old talks to his mom once.
Right, yeah.
And then never again.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he goes, my hour has not yet come, which is interesting because it's like, yeah.
He can record magic at night.
Yeah.
He's like, only when the sun goes
otherwise,
down.
Otherwise, they're like going to see the strings.
I have somebody coming to swap the water for wine, but it can only be done in darkness.
Yeah. It's not six yet. That's when Biff's coming. So yeah, he says my hour's not yet come yet because it's like he knows that he's going to be able to perform miracles.
Yeah, he's planning ahead.
And apparently she does too. And she's like, shouldn't your first be to make wine for this wedding?
Right. Yeah.
You know? It's an odd thing when you really think about it. Like,
it's a little show-offy.
It kind of is.
And it's like, it serves no purpose. He's not saving a life. He's saving a wedding.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. At the end of the day. And it's not even like he's saving a wedding because the bride was like, you know, I'm going to run away. I have cold feet. He's saving, like, just people from not being drunk at a wedding.
Right.
Which, I've been to a wedding where there was no alcohol, and it is a very important thing.
Yeah.
For, I mean, that he provided.
If there is such a thing as evil, it's a dry wedding. There is a hell. It's a dry wedding. So he's like, you know, resistant to it. And his mother just says to the servants, you know, do whatever he tells you to do. Okay.
What Jesus tells you to do?
Yeah.
I thought he was invited to this wedding. Why is all of a sudden he like the guy that's running the show?
I know. And he's not. Like, there's even like a master of the banquet.
Ah. So the person who's running the show.
Yeah. There's a person who does that.
Well,
I
would be, if I were Jesus, I would be pissed at Mary. Because literally, she's the one that's like, Jesus, you're really good at this stuff. You should go help.
Even though you've never done it before.
Mom, I just want to chill.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
You're embarrassing me in front of my friends.
Why are you here? No one invited you. Why don't you go immaculately concept me a brother or something? It's too much pressure.
Jesus spots that there's all these water jars nearby that Jews would use to ceremonially wash themselves, as using the language of the Bible there, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. And there's holy six shit. Of them. There's that's six of them. So he tells the servants to fill the jars. And then he tells them to draw some water out of the jars and give them to the master of the banquet.
Mm-hmm.
Master of the banquet sees that it's wine. They go out of the way of saying that only the servants knew that it was Jesus who did this, you know?
Right.
But the master of the banquet goes over to the groom and is like, most people serve the good wine early. And then they bring out the shit wine once everybody's drunk, is essentially what he says. But you saved the good stuff for last.
Oh, so not only did he make wine, he made good wine.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of the end of the story. It's the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him.
Because he turned water into wine.
Right. It's the first one. And there's apparently seven signs, according to my NIV thing,
oh, like seven signs that he's...
like seven miracles that he does. Which I feel like there's more, but in John specifically, like there's no like casting out demons in John and stuff like that. So other gospels probably have much more because of stuff like that.
Gotcha. Know? John's focusing on like the party tricks.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's the story of water into wine.
Okay. I always thought the bread and the wine were the same story.
So I think you're thinking of communion.
No, where he takes the bread and he divides it and it keeps, like, there's
multiple loaves. Yeah. Yeah. That's loaves and fishes.
Oh, loaves and fishes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not wine. Yeah. And then there's communion where you got bread and wine.
Yeah.
And my flesh and my blood.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've partook in Catholic.
It's the name of the episode.
Partooken.
Hadouken.
in Catholic ceremony. So yes, I am aware of what communion is.
Right. Yeah. Then we get to, I think, my favorite story of Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Josh's favorite story of Jesus.
Yeah, it's a really good one that very few people pay attention to.
Okay, great. Like
they should be.
I'm very excited.
Paying attention to it. So it's Passover.
Okay.
And Jesus goes to Jerusalem for the festival.
Okay.
While he is there, he's, you know, going to the temple, and in the temple courts, there are all these people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and exchanging money, because there's this whole thing where
people come from all around and they have to change it into the money they can use at the temple.
Exactly. Do you remember why?
I remember they talked about it in The Last Temptation of Christ.
Did they? I don't remember.
Because they were talked about the money changers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if I remember correctly, I think it was because there was a graven image of Caesar.
Oh, something. It had Roman gods on them.
Yeah, so you needed to exchange your money for something that you could use in the temple.
Yeah. And because then in the movie, Jesus yelled at them because they're profiting off of something that's supposed to be holy.
Yes, exactly. And these money changers, in theory, not that this is called out in the Bible, these money changers would probably be screwing over people by, you know, giving unfair exchange rates.
Like, you're right.
Like, if you didn't use all your money, you're going to end up getting less back.
Right.
If you try and exchange it back.
Yeah.
But kind of like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese tokens.
Sure. Yeah. You just keep those for the rest of your life.
Right.
Right.
No matter if they close.
Yeah. Or, you just have them forever. Yep.
He makes a whip out of cords.
Okay.
Jesus does.
Out of cords.
Yeah. And drives them all from the temple courts, both the sheep and the cattle. He scatters coins of the money changers and overturns their tables.
Yeah, this is what they played out in my one reference about the life of Jesus now.
Yeah. Yep.
My one actually very inaccurate when compared to the Bible thing about the, but they got that right, because he really did just kind of throw a fit and then like move everybody to join him, and then he was like, but not today.
Right.
And then they all left.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that this one is only in John, that we only get one accounting for this, but he overturns all the tables and then he says, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market.
Yep.
It says the Jews, this is again quoting the Bible, the Jews then responded to him, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? And he answers, destroy the temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They say it has taken 46 years to build the temple, which is interesting. It's, if you remember in the biblical history episode, we talked about how the temple was destroyed, and then where we kind of left off with Ezra and everything. That was them. That was when they were rebuilding the temple again. And apparently it took 46 years for them to do that, according to this.
We all know that the Bible is very accurate when it comes to time.
Yeah, exactly.
So it must have been 46 years.
Yeah. And it says that many people saw these signs that he was performing and believed in his name and stuff like that. But that's pretty much the story of it.
Do they destroy the temple?
No. They know. Okay. Well, the temple does get destroyed, you know, in 70 AD. And this is supposed to be like foreshadowing of that.
Oh, you know? But he wanted to rebuild it with magic.
He wanted to rebuild it with magic. So in this, what he was actually talking about, according to the footnotes and according to what Christians tell each other, is that he was talking about his body, which makes sense when it comes to the context of the story. Destroy him,
and then he'll come back three days later.
Yeah.
But that's not what he said.
I know.
He said destroy the temple.
Right.
He didn't say destroy this temple.
Yeah.
My body, which is a temple.
Right.
He said destroy. They're having a whole conversation about the fucking temple.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's like, destroy this temple. And he means his body. Destroy it, bitch.
Yeah.
As points downward.
Yeah.
No. The mental acrobats I had to go through to even think that that's what he's talking about is like, why?
Right.
Why would you just not, given the context of the story and the location and everything that had happened up to that point in this story, why wouldn't he mean the temple?
Why would anybody who was there think he was meaning anything but the temple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what, exactly.
Yeah. So the thing I always took away from this story is anti-prosperity gospel.
Right.
An anti-prosperity gospel message to it. So for those who don't know, the prosperity gospel is this notion that is purported by a bunch of especially famous TV pastors.
Yeah. Out there. Anyone who's rich who is also wielding religious power somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, think of those pastors that you see on TV that have jets mm-hmm. and stuff like that. They're probably prosperity gospel teachers where they talk about believing in God will bring you riches. And it's right. very focused on materialism and things
I'm
like
rich
that.
Because God loves me and you're poor because God hates you.
Right.
Not because of, you know, unfair societal practices or anything right. like that.
And they use their platform of having, you know, this weekly televised sermon that they do and stuff like that to hawk books and to hawk all kinds of shit. Even like little devices that play your sermon, their sermons for you yep. and shit like that. Like it's crazy mm-hmm. stuff that they come up with to sell to people. What I don't understand from Christians a lot of the time is this is literally the one time Jesus gets violent.
Yeah.
Literally the one time Jesus is like,
he makes to his
a
point.
Whip.
Yeah.
And just goes around whipping people.
What's cord, by the way, back then?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. I have a hard time because I also might conflate it with the whip that they used on him later. Spoilers.
Yeah, I don't think that you're spoiling anything. I'm pretty sure we all know that part of the story.
Yeah. He's going around whipping people and everything. And I don't understand why Christians aren't more pissed off about prosperity gospel preachers than they are. Like, why isn't there efforts to lobby to get them to remove their tax exemption and stuff like that? You know?
Listen, it's been something even before these people. I mean, how many kings were chosen by God?
Yeah.
If you focus specifically on the Catholic Church, like once you start getting up there, especially back in the day when like kings would have their own like bishops and things like that, like those men weren't poor.
Oh, yeah. The Catholic Church in general is not poor, you know?
Yeah.
It's extremely wealthy, and that's a very
hard—
They
don't share that with anybody under their umbrella.
Right. I wish this was something that was taken more seriously. Oh. I think it would solve a lot of the world's issues if Christians actually, like, cared about this, you know?
I think that, there's a lot of instances in which if Christians actually followed the Bible—
Yeah.
Specifically the teachings of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like the world would be a way better place.
Right.
But, you know, hypocrisy and all that.
Yes. Yep. So that's the story of cleansing the temple.
So is that counted as one of the miracles?
That's not a miracle.
Okay.
No.
We're still on John though, right?
Yes, we are. Yeah. So the first miracle was the water into wine.
Gotcha. That's,
yeah.
I didn't know if we were just hopping from miracle to miracle.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, we're just getting through a few stories that apparently chronologically
gotcha.
Is where we're at.
And these are only in John.
Right.
Okay.
There's this story it's a lot of back and forth talking, but there's this Pharisee. Pharisees are basically priests.
Right.
His name is Nicodemus. He comes up to Jesus and says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him, even though, according to John, he's only done the water into wine, and nobody knew that but the servants, you know?
Right, yeah.
Jesus kind of ends up having this back and forth with him about how you need to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God, and this is where we get the term born again, you know? Nicodemus is like, surely you cannot be you can't re-enter your mother's womb, you know? Jesus goes on about like being born in the spirit, reborn in the spirit and things like that.
Is that why people who, okay, so I, I always feel like born again, like anytime you refer to somebody as born again, it feels a little insulty. And I think that's just because the connotation, like, oh yeah, they're a born again. So like, because they're very like excitable, right?
Okay.
Like they're people who have just, usually, you don't refer to somebody as born again after
fresh converts.
Yes.
You're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
So like if you decided to relapse into Christianity.
Yeah.
Like you would be concerned.
Not happening, but.
Right. Yeah. Just as a hypothetical situation.
Right.
Clearly. If you decided to relapse into Christianity, you would be considered born again, but only for a little while because eventually you would just be Christian, right?
Nope. You would, no, everybody is, if you're a Christian, you are born again. I think, and this is where it's like, there's such subtle nuances between denominations that it's really hard to keep track of all this stuff. But I think there are some Christians out there who don't, like, that's not as much of a thing for them, like the concept of it. But, really from my growing up, my raising, everybody who's a Christian is born again.
Okay. We always used it to refer to the people who had just freshly either reconverted or converted because, again, they were really excited about it still.
There
are the people who would not shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They always had something to say. It's like they just learned about Jesus. They want to tell everybody about it. They're very excited. They think they know everything.
Yeah.
They think they know things that other people don't know. And then they just throw it at you, all with this look in their eye that's real sort of manic. Like they need to pass along this word. They need to get it out of them, right? So whenever I think of somebody as born again, I think of it in kind of a negative. Like I feel it like it's an insult. But really, it's not, I guess, according to the Bible.
No, not at all. There was a period of time not that long ago that evangelicals were really making a big deal out of being born again, being a born again Christian and all that kind of stuff. And that's where I'm like, I don't know what specifically they were talking about that makes a born again Christian different than a Christian.
Right.
But
I just know that I've used the phrase, oh, she was born again. And people are always like, oh.
Well, yeah. Yeah. There are. I totally get that. Like, if you were to say that to me, I would totally know exactly what you're talking about, too.
Oh, yeah.
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 An intense passion for something.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, fresh converts and people who are zealots for Jesus, it's a good name for them.
Yeah.
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 Technically speaking, all Christians would be considered born again, somebody who's been reborn in the Spirit, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
They let the Holy Spirit come inside them.
Yep. Yeah, they did. And this is kind of also a verse about, like, the only way to God is through Jesus, you know.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, he's his doorman.
Right. So it's basically just a bunch of text, so I'm just kind of skipping over it. If you want to read it, feel free to go through. You know, it's stuff fundamental to Christianity, but that's basically the idea that's coming through this is you need to be born again.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's some flowery language in here that kind of explains it, but it doesn't really
explain
what it means.
I feel like it's the same sort of thing when people say they've had a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Something in their brain, like they've resolved themselves to something or they've accepted something that makes them feel like they have a different outlook.
Yeah.
And a different perspective. It's the same fucking thing.
which is what I felt when I became an atheist.
Right.
Like it was kind of like Saul on the road to Damascus moment for me.
You got struck down and then you were like, fuck this.
Yeah, kind of.
You're not changing my name to Paul. Yeah. I like Josh.
Yeah. Changed my name to Posh.
Oh, wait, there's going to be a Spice Girl later. We can't use that one.
Right. This was long after the Spice Girls. Let me just point out that I think they were already retired. Having a hard time getting your family to call you back?
Did you see the QAnon shaman and think, I'd hit that?
Did things change after discovering the flat earth?
Join Coulter.
A dating app for people like us.
Don't let the lizard people win.
Open your mind to new experiences.
Then immediately shut it again.
Join Coulter.
Meet single-minded single people in your area.
Discover a real connection with someone before the ancient aliens come back, led by Jesus to reinstate Trump as president at the peak of the vernal equinox.
Don't die alone.
Join Coulter.
Coulter is only available in the continental United States, the world's premier exporter of conspiracy theory since 2016.
Again, we're just continuing on through John, where Jesus and his disciples are going out baptizing folks out in the Judean countryside. So we know that they're in Judah at this point. So they keep referencing Judea, just so everybody knows. Judea is the southern kingdom of Judah, like that region. Mm-hmm. But this is past the point where they had a southern kingdom and a northern kingdom. So when they talk about Judea, it's roughly where that southern kingdom was. When they talk about Galilee or Samaritus. I can't remember. That's northern kingdom.
Samaritus?
Yeah. It might be. Yeah. the northern kingdom is like Galilee and stuff like that. So Jesus was out baptizing folks, but we find out later he doesn't actually do the baptizing. They specifically say the disciples did. I don't know why it matters, but
that he didn't baptize?
Yeah.
Well, you got to save the Jesus baptisms for the special people.
Yeah, it sounds like Jesus never baptizes anybody ever. But
okay. Did he baptize the disciples?
I don't think so.
Who baptized them?
I don't know. Maybe John. Maybe John, because John does show up here.
He is the Baptist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, John the Baptist does show up. John was also baptizing people in this area, and it specifically says this was before John was put in prison. He's going to be going into prison eventually. Okay. An argument develops between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew, quote unquote, it doesn't say who, over a matter of ceremonial washing.
It says it's just a certain Jew?
Yeah. They came to John and said, Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, so this would be Jesus that they're talking about, the one you testified about, which was in an earlier verse, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. So we've completely abandoned—
That Jesus didn't baptize people.
Well, we've completely abandoned, I don't understand this verse at all, because it's like, there's this verse where they're talking about this certain Jew and there's the ceremonial washing. I don't know if they're talking about Jesus in that verse. If there's some other argument that's coming up, is it the ceremonial washing baptism? Like it might be, you know, technically
you were baptized, yeah?
Yeah.
A few times. Yeah, that's
yeah.
true, because you have to get rebaptized anytime you switch to a new off branch of Christianity, right?
There was a few times, in my life where I felt like I had kind of left being really religious, like really caring about it.
And then you became born again?
I kind of did.
Yeah.
I just had a renewal of faith.
Right. And then you got rebaptized.
Yeah.
So don't they I feel like I've only ever seen babies baptized and also like baptism in movies, which I don't necessarily think is accurate most of the time.
You might be surprised.
Yeah. Well, specifically like those crazy river baptisms where they just shove your whole body underwater.
I do think that's more a southern thing.
Yeah.
But I do think that that does happen. My baptisms were in hot tubs at churches.
Okay.
You know?
In hot tubs?
Yeah. Like large hot tubs that they have. Just like a lot of churches will just have hot tubs for this.
Sure. That's why they have the hot tubs.
Yeah.
Okay. In Catholic church, they don't dunk you.
No.
You don't get completely, they just touch your face.
Sprinkle the baby.
Right. Yeah.
Do they do it?
You can get baptized as an adult.
You can?
Yeah. Okay. If you are a convert.
And they do the same thing, just sprinkle it?
Yeah. I don't feel like they get you like wet.
Not really. Just moist.
Just a little moist.
Yeah.
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 Because it's I think with a lot of things in Catholicism, it's just highly ceremonial. So
yeah, it totally is.
They're not like, oh, figure, like, it says washing, so we literally have to, like, get you underwater.
Right.
They're just like, no, we're washing away your sins.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to take this figure, like, completely literally.
In reality, it's as good as completely dunking
right.
you, because neither one is actually doing
right,
anything.
Right, right, right.
It's all just for your own mindset. The thing that I think is big for in American evangelicalism with baptizing is the theatrics of it.
Right.
You know, of like doing the full dunking and all that. Because then you come out of the water and all of a sudden you can breathe and, you know.
Mm.
Because they really hold you down for like a couple minutes.
They do not. No.
That's what it means, family. My pastor did. So anyway, they bring that to John. Like, hey, Jesus is, you know, baptizing all these people. All these people are going to him. And he has this weird analogy that he uses.
Okay.
Where he's talking about a bride belongs to the groom. And the best man should basically just be happy to hear the groom's voice. Basically, he's the best man. John the Baptist is the best man at the wedding.
And Jesus is the groom.
And people
are the bride.
And
so he should just be happy to hear that Jesus is getting some action.
I guess so, yeah. And he ends his thing with, he must become greater and I must become less. So he's kind of like handing off.
Yeah.
You know, his followers to Jesus.
And if we go back to the nativity story, one could assume that John was taught about Jesus because his mom knew. I mean, they're related.
Right.
So I would imagine he grew up with his mom being like, your cousin Jesus is better than you and he's always going to be better than you because you have old parents and his dad is God.
Right.
So there's going to come a day when young Jesus like crosses your path and starts taking your shit and you just got to let it happen.
You know what I'm just now realizing, though?
Just now realizing that it's all bullshit?
According to John, John's gospel and Mark's, and maybe Matthew's as well.
They're not related?
They're not related.
Mm.
Or at least they never say that they are.
Yeah.
If you were to only read that gospel,
right.
you would have no idea.
That's true.
They were related.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, but now in my head, they are forever.
Because of Luke.
Yeah.
Because of that mm-hmm. one gospel.
Right.
And then there's like some editorializing, this is actually the part that made me think about editorializing. Why does that matter really? Unless it's what Jesus actually said.
Right.
The guy who wrote John, whoever that was, wrote, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. And, you know, it's very dire
kind
of warning, you know, and everything. And it's like, and it's incongruent with the message, really, mm-hmm. of Jesus, the tone and message of Jesus. And it was just kind of an interesting thing. It just stuck out to me as like, why do I care what you think?
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, there's definitely a part in the Bible that I remember learning, and it's kind of stuck with me just because I haven't really ever been religious. And Jesus talks about this Roman soldier being basically holier than all of these actual religious people because of what he does in life to help people makes him holier in his eyes. And him straight up being like, he doesn't follow the same religion as us, but he's a better man than all of you bitches,
right.
basically. And I always, whenever anyone argues the whole like, well, they're good people, but they're still going to go to hell because they're not Christian or whatever, I'm always like, you're just an asshole.
Right.
Like, you're just an asshole. Like, it's all stupid. And then I can't argue because I sound like a blubbering idiot who's just like, nah, you're dumb. And then they win.
I mean, really, no, I think that's the best argument you can actually give. Honestly, no, you're dumb. It's not like they can like actually be like, no, Jesus was real. I can prove it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, no, they do say that. Then they just go to this book.
Yeah. You know, I can prove it. The Bible says so.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Bible has math errors. Then we get into this really interesting story about Jesus and the Samaritan woman.
The Good Samaritan?
This is not the Good Samaritan. Okay. That's another story for another time.
Okay.
But this is a Samaritan woman. So Samaria, I don't know if you can see this map. It's Samaria.
Samaria.
So Judea is down here. Samaria is just north of Judea. And then above that is Galilee.
And this is what would be modern day Israel?
This would be in actually like Palestine.
Okay.
Probably. Okay. I think. I don't understand. I'm not entirely sure like where all the borders are right now.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody is.
Right.
But I believe this would be modern day Palestine and probably Syria, I think, to the north.
Yeah. I mean, you're saying that out loud just makes it true in my head because I'm never going to look it up.
Yeah. So it's around that area at least, right?
Okay.
I bring this up because there's a very interesting story about, like, backstory to the Samaritans.
Okay.
That nobody ever taught me when I was a kid. I always kind of just thought that these were people who had different beliefs than Jewish people, you know, just kind of getting context from the story itself. Turns out, when the Northern Kingdom fell, you remember in 722, I believe, BC, the Assyrian Empire takes down the Northern Kingdom. They deport a bunch of people.
Yes.
Right? And a bunch of people become refugees going to the Southern Kingdom, right, of Judah. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 25 through 33, it says that Assyria deported a bunch of people and replaced them with new people. Yeah. They did forced relocations of a bunch of people from other countries.
Oh my God.
And then God's
terrible. Yeah,
and then God sent lions to kill them. The Assyrian king.
The people who got pushed out or the people who got brought in?
That got brought in.
God sent lions to kill them?
Yeah.
These people are monsters. And by these people, I mean the fake people these stories are about.
Well, yeah. And then the Assyrian king sends one of the deported priests back to the area to teach people how to worship God. Because clearly...
God's mad. He sent lions to kill them. Like a lot of lions? That's a lot of people to kill.
I can't remember if they said how many lions, but it might have only been two. I mean, a lion can kill a
hungry
few people. Yeah. So they started worshiping God, but then they kept worshiping their own gods too, apparently, according to this, according to 2 Kings. What's interesting, though, is in 2 Chronicles, Chronicles and Kings basically tell the same of the same stories, but it's from two different perspectives.
Yep.
Two different groups wrote these. Yes,
the priests and the...
Is the priest descended from Aaron, and then there's the Deuteronomist.
Deuteronomist, yes.
Which was likely Mosaic priests, I think. Those were descendants of Moses. So 2 Chronicles never says anything about people getting replaced.
Okay.
In fact, 2 Chronicles 34:9 has a verse where they talk about a remnant of people who... were still Israelites living in the Northern Kingdom that had survived like the Assyrian deportations and all that stuff, like still living up there. But these people still exist, Samaritans. Mm-hmm. Like they're still a people. There's only about 1,000 of them left.
Okay.
But they believe that they are the original Jewish people.
Ah.
And that the texts that mainstream Jewish people use are not legitimate.
Okay.
Basically, that they were fabricated by Ezra and his sidekick Nehemiah, which we kind of talked about. Like the only sacred text that they have is a Torah, but it's different than the one that mainstream Jewish people use and Christians use, because this one wasn't compiled by Ezra. But there are slight differences for them. Like they think instead of a place for sacrifices and such being in a temple in Jerusalem, they think it should be on the top of this one mountain specifically. So that's the difference between Samaritans and Jewish people. So going into this, it's important to understand this is what Jewish people thought, was that these people were just replaced.
Okay.
And they're essentially pretending to be Jewish, you know? And they think they're assholes because these guys are saying that they're scriptures aren't right, you know, okay. And both of them, there's this animosity between them, right? Okay,
yep.
So let's see what Jesus has to say to one of them.
Okay.
You know?
The Samaritan woman.
Right, yeah.
Is she by a well when he happens upon her?
Yeah.
I feel like that's how you meet women back then, is you just go to a well.
It's, you, I don't know if you like remember the story, but you totally nailed it. Yeah. So Jesus, we find out Jesus learns that the Pharisees have found out he's been baptizing people and everything. So he gets out of Dodge, basically. Like he's worried
they're
that
mad.
Yeah, like he's worried that they're gonna interfere in some way.
Gotcha.
So he gets out of there and he goes north towards Galilee. And while he's on the way through Samaria, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph, Jacob's well was there.
That's so, a well Joseph got thrown in?
No, that was a cistern. But this is, you remember Jacob kept digging wells?
Yeah.
So this is one of them. Yeah. And again, like everybody probably just came up with stories. Yeah. Like, here's who dug this well.
Yeah, you all know? Of them were Jacob.
Right.
This is basically one of them Jacobian wells.
Jacobian. Yes. So Jesus was tired, so he sat down by the well, and the Samaritan woman came up to fill her jar. Jesus asks if he can get a drink, and she's surprised. Like, you're not only are you a man, you're a Jewish man.
And you're talking to me.
And you're talking
to me. And it wasn't like, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's kind of the thing that the attitude. And Jesus is like, if you knew who was talking to you, you would be asking me for water.
I don't know if you know, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's kind of how it reads. Yeah, you would be asking me for living water, and it's, you know, it's water that will never make you thirsty again. It's this whole analogy that he gives her, and like, it goes way over her head.
I would be standing there listening to him, being like, what?
Yeah,
living water.
I did never have to drink again.
Did you walk by the burning bush on your way here?
Because that's weed.
What are you talking about? Living water. Yeah. LSD has not been created
yet. Were you licking some toads? Yeah, she's like, yeah, give me this water that will make me never have to drink again, dude.
Yeah, right, I'm sure.
And then he basically calls out to her like that. She doesn't have a husband. The man she's currently living with is not her husband. She's had five husbands before that, though. She's like, oh my God, how could you possibly have known that?
How could you possibly have known in a time where they talk badly about women who have been married five times?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how she successfully got married after like the first one or two.
Well, you what know? She doesn't say, or what he doesn't say, is that he knows also that she killed all of her husbands. Yeah.
She's been a widow five times.
Which is very suspect.
Yeah. Who do you think's in the well?
That's why that's why the guy she's living with now refuses to marry her.
Right.
She doesn't get anything if she kills him now.
Right, yeah. One thing that just stood out to me on this, though, is, you know, he's trying to, like, basically say, I'm here to save you as well as Jewish people and everything, but the way he phrases this is interesting. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. And it's kind of a racist thing to say.
To the Samaritan woman?
Yeah. Considering they're probably also Jewish, you know, like from the same line. Like they're probably still. Yeah.
Well, and it sounds to me like they're not even saying like Jewish people and Samaritans, as in like, it's really just a belief thing. Like, yeah. It's not even like ethnically I'm Jewish and ethnically you're Samaritan. So ethnically I'm better than you because we believe in God differently. It just sounds like the Jewish faith is better than the Samaritan faith.
Right. Which is not all that different.
Right.
Like, it literally is like, there's one holy place for one people and another holy place for another people. Yeah. And
I mean, but still, to this, I mean, what did you guys think about Catholics growing up?
Oh, you guys were all going to hell.
Yeah. Right? No, no, I mean,
not really. Not honestly, like, not really.
Maybe not that, but still, like, you were probably still like, what the fuck? these overindulgent Catholics, right? Yeah. They're the ornate churches and wealth, and they control the Vatican and all right. this bullshit.
I think the idea that I would have had back then was that you guys.
I know, not me.
But Catholics are not, they're Christians, and they're probably going to go to heaven, but they're just not right about a lot of stuff.
Right. I always got the impression that people thought of Catholics as like the sin as much as you want, because you're just going to ask for forgiveness for it.
Yeah. I mean, to some extent, there is a little bit of that. Yeah. But also, you know, it's not like other evangelical Christians or Protestants. It's not like they don't sin. Right. You know what I mean?
No, but yeah, Catholics truly believe that you can basically just be forgiven for almost anything.
Yeah, but you have to be able to get to the church to, you know, your confession before you die.
Well, the priest will come to your side on your deathbed as well.
If you're in a position where you could die like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like where you've got some time. What if you're in a car accident and die instantly?
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And then you gotta spend some time in purgatory, I believe.
Yes, to atone.
To atone for it. Right. Yeah. So
unless you're evil and then you go straight to hell.
Right. Or none of that happens.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We don't have to keep saying that. I think people understand our viewpoint.
Yeah. But but there are a lot of Christians out there who do think Catholics are going to hell.
Yeah.
You know, there are definitely people out there like that.
Sure. Like I've known, like, okay, so if you think about Gandhi, right? Gandhi sacrificed a lot for his people and was real on this sort of journey and was looked upon as like a person who did a lot of good.
Yeah.
And there are still a lot of Christians who are like, well, it's unfortunate, but he's going to hell. I think they do it in the South Park movie. When Kenny goes to hell.
Yeah.
Gandhi is there in
hell.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, that's right. He is. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah. I mean, there are people who think Mother Teresa would be in hell.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess my point when talking about the Samaritan woman, to bring it back around, is like, that's not a problem that's gone away.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. It's just interesting to me because you would think if Jesus really is the Son of God, and this is also an accurate representation of what Jesus said, considering there's only two people here.
Yeah. It feels really...
Who's writing this down?
Yeah. Yeah, true. Right?
And yeah. So if this is an accurate representation, like, you would think Jesus would know they're not actually some different, people.
Right.
Like, they're just, they got branched off, essentially. Right. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. And apparently...
also, he's just being kind of real dickish. Because he's like, well, I know that you've been married 5 times and that the man you're currently with is not your husband.
Right. He's being a little judgmental.
He was being very judgmental. And like, even just saying it out loud to her, that's the tone of voice I'm picturing it in.
And what's annoying, too, is like, that's not how a woman would react to it. Like, it shouldn't be, at least. Not a healthy person would, where she's like, oh my God, you really are the Messiah, aren't you? And that's totally what she's...
Right. Know all of these hidden things.
Yeah.
Bitch, it's not hidden.
Right.
Everyone knows you were married 5 times.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that the dude you're living with is not your husband.
Right. I saw a sermon once that was talking about how Jesus was pro-women. And this was one of the big pieces of evidence, was this story that Jesus was pro-women.
Does it get better?
Nope. no. But like, the fact that this is the longest interaction Jesus ever has with anybody in any of the Gospels.
Oh, that makes it pro-women?
It's pro-women.
He had the longest conversation. He had the longest mansplaining conversation with a woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's
as a woman, I don't feel it's pro-woman.
I don't either.
I would, if somebody said that to me, somebody, a stranger, just happened upon me, whether he was supposed to know it or not, especially if he was the Son of God and he was real like, well, you've been married 5 times.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh God, now I hate you. I don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
Are you, if you're the Son of God, then man, oh man, am I an atheist now?
Right. Yeah. And then, so his disciples show back up.
Usher him away from the woman because he's been talking to her for too long and people don't want to get the wrong idea about the woman who isn't currently married.
Not really, but kind of. So they walk over and they're like, Rabbi, you need to eat something. And Jesus gives this line that I think is just kind of funny. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And they do not get it. They're like, where did he get food?
I don't need to eat, motherfucker. I'm Jesus.
Yeah.
I have spiritual food. Manna from heaven and shit.
My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.
His dad's work?
I guess, yeah. Is essentially what he's saying.
I just wish he would refer to him as dad.
Yeah.
Like that would make the whole thing way more endearing, right? Yeah. Like I just got to finish my dad's work. That's right. What I was sent here to do.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a good boy, Jesus.
You're a good boy.
You're a good boy.
30-year-old Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a good boy.
All right. The Samaritan woman goes and tells a bunch of people in the town about Jesus. Like he knew everything about me.
Yeah.
Even though he really just mentioned this one aspect of her life.
Yeah.
All these people come out and they talk to them and, you know, it's supposed to be this big thing of like
this big come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. He gets a bunch of people to believe
in
him.
I think that's the direct definition of a come to Jesus moment.
Right.
Literally.
Exactly. Yeah. It says, after 2 days he left for Galilee. And then in parentheses, it says, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country.
What does that mean?
When he arrived in Galilee. So,
is he from Galilee?
So I think the reason why I highlighted this is because in that spreadsheet that I have, it corresponds with the story of him getting rejected at Nazareth, which is in Galilee.
Okay.
And so,
this Jesus is John's. Nazareth.
So I think the idea, according to that person who compiled that, was corresponds with the story of that rejection.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So next in the timeline would be the rejection of Nazareth. We ended up talking about that on the last episode. So if you want to hear about that, you can check out that episode. That story only shows up in Luke, and that's 4:16 is where that starts.
The rejection of Jesus at Nazareth.
Yep, exactly.
It's also in The Last Temptation of Christ.
It is. So you can also watch that. Is that in the
last? Yeah, because he goes back to Nazareth and they like, don't they like throw shit at him or something?
Maybe. I don't remember that scene.
Yeah.
But for the next story, we're going to jump over to Mark 1:21. And this is the first demon possession.
Oh.
Yeah. Jesus is in Capernaum. And he goes to it's the Sabbath, so he goes to the synagogue to teach, right? Okay. The people were amazed at his teaching, of course.
Everywhere he goes, people are amazed by his teachings.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, though, like if you actually lean into the teachings of Jesus, they're pretty great.
They are.
I could see why people would be dazzled, especially since everybody else is like fire and brimstone. And he's like, But guys, no, let's love each other.
Right. It would be really cool, though, like maybe if they included what he had said in this.
Yes, the actual teachings of Jesus. Yeah, that would be super helpful.
Instead of just talking about like this demon possession. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out. And he says to them, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I'm guessing. I don't know what voice to use for demons.
I don't know. That felt like you were
homophobic.
It really did. Yeah, that came bad out. Voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
should I do my Cartman voice?
You don't. I don't. Do you have to do a voice?
I don't know. Demon possession.
I mean, you can use After Effects to really get it growly, right?
Yes.
Or hissy.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Do like Voldemort?
Yeah. What do you want with that? No, I can't do it. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Maybe that's what he sounded like.
What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?
And then
I should have just given you the lines. And then what was this?
It was like vomit coming out of his mouth. I feel like
that's a hard thing to do in podcasts.
I feel like always in movies, people who are possessed are always just constantly vomiting front of themselves. The body's trying to reject the demon, right?
Right. Yeah. The antibodies.
Yeah. Your body's fighting it off.
Yeah. So anyway, he's like, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus is like, be quiet. That's probably how he talks.
Hey, be quiet.
Yeah.
No, I feel like Jesus is real like, chill. Be quiet, yeah. Man. Hey. It's all good.
Smoke this.
Yeah.
What is this?
It's ganja.
It's some burning bush.
Just chill. So he says, be quiet. Come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
In this very short story. I have not even so many questions, I guess. First of all, people watch him remove an impure spirit out of a person who's literally like, and then comes out of him like, and screeching, it says. And they're like, oh, a new teaching.
Right.
Like, that's their reaction.
With authority.
Oh, my God. That actor was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, did they think
I want to see this. I want to come next week. I want to see another show
he was putting on.
Yeah.
And also, like, have demons, has possession come up at all previously in the Bible?
You mean like in the Old Testament?
Like, have they talked about possession? I'm hearing about it.
It's really rare in the Old Testament, very prevalent in the Gospels.
I'm trying to remember
anybody getting possessed in the Old Testament, but.
What are impure spirits?
Demons.
But what are demons? I mean, I know what demons are, but
not in the Gospels, but like, you know, demons are fallen angels.
Do they describe that somewhere in the Bible?
Yes. Kinda.
Okay. But it's just general knowledge back then that the fallen angels are demons and that they possess people.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. It's tough for me to know what specifically Jewish people would have thought about demons back then, you know, but like there are verses in Genesis about that we never really hit because it's so short about angels sleeping with human women and becoming fallen.
Those Ferris wheels of death sleep with women?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
No wonder demons are the offspring of that.
Yeah. Well, that's where we got the giants.
Okay. Like Goliath?
Yeah. Like that's where we got giants was.
That's right.
Their offspring.
Those poor women.
Yeah.
Not only did they have sex with an angel, they pushed out a giant.
Yeah.
Ripped him in twain, I'm sure.
Twain.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean.
Comes out as a 5-year-old.
Ouch. Oh, man. No, I was just, you know, we haven't talked about the demonology part of the Bible.
Which yet. I do kind of want to get into at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most interesting part of the evil shit is the most interesting part of the Bible. So I just wasn't sure if this was like people were like some commonplace, like it was common knowledge that this sort of shit happened. Like,
demon possession?
Yeah.
So according to the Gospels, it's all over the place.
Okay.
Like there's people with who are possessed, and we'll get to that, where like they're just bringing people
all
to
kinds
them
of possessed
that are,
people.
Yeah, all possessed.
Who, I mean, let's be realistic. If this were actually happening, we're probably just people with like
mental disorders. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lead poisoning.
Yeah.
Something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Mercury poisoning.
Mercury poisoning. Yeah. Any kind of poisoning.
Right. Yeah. And just legitimate mental problems.
Right.
That until, I don't know.
Intelligence.
The last 50 years. Right.
They might just be smart.
Women.
Yeah.
Women who have like a backbone.
Right.
Clearly possessed by a demon.
Yeah. That's him.
Okay. All right.
Knocking out the first demon.
It's an odd interaction.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely is. And then we get this other story. Like, so basically, as soon as they leave the synagogue, it says, they go over to Simon, aka Peter, and Andrew's home. Okay, so him and a couple other disciples in Mark, it says James and John, also came with them. Simon's mother-in-law has a fever and is in bed. And Jesus takes her hand, and she's healed from this fever. And then she waits on them.
Female forward.
I know.
I mean, he did save her.
He did.
He could have just, I don't know, killed her.
Maybe she should have still rested for the night, you know, still take the night off. But I don't know. I just think it's funny that he heals her. And then, all right, now let's get some drinks going.
You know what, though? To be fair.
Yeah.
To be fair. If I were a woman from that time and somebody had saved me, my first inclination would be to, as a sign of gratitude, serve them.
Probably, yeah. It's not that far-fetched. It's just worded weirdly.
Well, it's the fact that they're kind of insisting upon her serving them is a little off-putting.
At least not that it's said.
It just says that she serves them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Not that that's right. But right. I would imagine a woman of the time would feel inclined more so having just been saved.
I just don't understand why they would even include it in the story. It doesn't add anything to the story to be like, and then she served them.
But, right. You know, she's got to put in the gratitude.
Right. So that evening after sunset, the people brought Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was, which was the Messiah. So basically, he's not telling people yet that he's the Messiah, even though he did with the Samaritan woman.
Yes.
And apparently, he did when he was in the synagogue and gets rejected.
Yeah, well, he's been dropping, Messiah, Son of God, same thing, right? Interchangeable?
Kinda, yeah.
Because there's been a couple times where he's dropped that his dad's famous, you know.
You might have heard of him.
but he's saying because they don't know he's the Messiah, but the demons do. The demons are going to be like, you are the Son of God.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want people to know that quite yet.
Right.
Although he has told a lot of people.
Yeah. I think that, so we're reading from Mark here, but I think it's also in Luke chapter 4, the story is. And I want to say in that one, there is a little bit more of like demons being like, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. Just like, shut up and stop throwing up on yourself. Ugh. Very early in the morning, while it's still dark, Jesus gets up and leaves the house and goes off to a solitary place to pray. Right?
Let's take a shit.
Yeah. Simon, aka Peter.
Does he become known as Peter later? Or has
it's different depending on the gospel you're reading.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was one of those scenarios where he was named Simon and then God changed his name to Peter or vice versa, but it's just literally either one.
There is in one of the gospels, I can't remember which one, there is that moment where Jesus is like, I'm gonna call you Peter.
That's right, because we talked about him being like, but my name's Simon. But your name's Peter now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're bald, you look like a dick. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there is that moment, but I can't remember. I think that was only in one of the gospels, and I can't remember which one off the top of my head. But so Simon and his companions went out to look for Jesus. When they find him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus is like, let's go somewhere else.
I just took a shit here and it smells.
He means like another village. Oh.
assume that Jesus did have to poop from there.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
And probably wanted to do it by himself.
Except when he would do it, it would ascend to heaven.
He just poops out manna.
Yeah.
That's the food he eats, but he doesn't want anyone to know about it.
Don't interrupt me.
I'm busy. I'm praying.
God, I tried to find a solitary place.
Fine, I'm taking a shit. Would you leave me alone?
If you don't leave me alone, I'm going to rename you to Peter. Because you look like a dick. Anyway. So he says, I want to go someplace else to one of the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So they traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons.
Gotcha.
So they're off on their misadventures.
Is this the stuff? So is this the missionary work that is supposed to be, that is used as the model for missionary work? Like the reason why Christians go out?
I mean, you could say that this is one of them. I would say if anybody really pioneered that, it would have been Paul.
Right.
Because he like literally was going all around the Mediterranean.
Right.
You know, famously preaching this stuff. So Luke's version of this is a little different. It's not the disciples looking for him. It's literally all the people in the town.
Are searching for
are
Jesus.
Are looking for Jesus. And I get more of the impression from that story that like this version makes it sound like he was driving out demons and healing people, and then they went to bed for the night, and then he got up early in the morning. In that version, it sounds a little bit more like he was literally healing people and driving out demons all night.
You're right.
And then finally, he's like, I got to get the fuck out of here
for
a minute. I got to get a moment. Yeah. And so, and
he runs
then everybody,
off to hide.
And then everybody comes out looking
some
for
self-care.
Him.
Self-care. Yeah. I mean, you feel a little bad for him.
Sure. Yeah. And then, but yeah. So then he's like, we need to, you know,
we need
move
to
on.
Go.
Except according to that version, they go to Judea, okay. So back to the Southern Kingdom area again. In this version, it's Galilee. So just around the area they're in. So there's a difference of opinion of where they went from here. And that's basically everything I was thinking we'd hit for this week.
Cool. It was good stuff.
Yeah. So we're getting a little bit more into the interesting stuff, the miracles and
yeah, it's interesting stuff. Like I said, in a previous episode, I think like I have from just existing in a society where there's religion and having kind of a satellite relationship with religion, like you know the birth and the death and like the kind of big things, like you hear the water into wine and the fish and loaves and the lepers.
Lepers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear the lepers.
He cures the lepers or something like that.
No, he made it worse for them. Yeah. Yeah.
At least he gave them their own community.
Yeah. He set up the first leprosy colony.
Yeah. So, you know, but all of that stuff kind of in between is, and even like the Samaritan woman, like I, in the recesses of my mind, I recall
the story.
Not the story, but, you know, that there must have been a story because Samaritan woman, I was like, oh, yeah.
Well.
Well, well, yes, but also, like, lots of wells. There's lots of wells in this story where, isn't that where Moses? No. Where does he meet his wife at a well?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
He's at a well, I believe, in Midian.
Yeah, because he meets his wife and then his father-in-law's.
Right.
Right, yeah. He meets her at a
father-in-law's.
Well.
Father-in-law's, yeah. That awesome gay poor couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just feel like that's where a lot of men had picked up women.
Right.
Throughout the Bible.
Was wells.
Yeah, women are always at wells.
Right, that was the bars of the day. That was the Tinder of the day or whatever people are using nowadays.
Yeah, push in or keep out.
Right. Much more aggressive swiping.
Bit, yeah. The women are must really just, they got to know what's going on when they head there.
Right, yeah. As always, they all lived miserably ever after.
Thank you so much for checking out our podcast. Help us spread the good news and keep this going by sharing the show with a friend or leaving a review to help others find us. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right.
All